Shabbat shalom, y'all.
Shabbat shalom, y'all, from Texas. We're from Texas.
We are from the great state of Texas. Yes. And who are we? We are the Cohens. I'm Rabbi Marty Cohen, and this is my bride, Psalmist Devorah Cohen. And we are so glad that you are here with us tonight. And to welcome the Sabbath and to worship the God of Israel, who, oh, by the way, is the God of the nations, too.
Yes, all nations are welcome to join us.
Yes, they are. Yes. And they do. Yes. We've got folks from all over the world that join us on Friday nights and on Saturday mornings, and not just geographically from all over the world, but we get people from all sorts of theological geography as well.
Mm-hmm.
We get a lot of Christians, and we get Messianic Jews, and we get traditional Jews, and we get Muslims, and we get Buddhists,
and so
whoever you are, we're just glad you're here.
Yeah,
and look at here,
we're celebrating the Sabbath.
Yes, we are.
So everybody's invited to join.
That's right, and we're going to sound the great shofar.
Yes,
for our freedom and raise a banner to gather our exiles and unite us together from the four corners of the earth.
Blessed are you, O Lord, who gathers the scattered of his people. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom again, y'all.
Shabbat shalom.
And you know what we do here?
We are going to pray.
Yes, we are. Yes. Now and ever. Father God, we delight in your presence. Avinu Malkeinu, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh Mika, Father in heaven, holy, holy, holy is your name. Father, thank you so much for the gift you give us of this Yom Shabbat. And Lord, for the gift you give us of having people around the world that join us together in one accord. Lord, we just pray that you would open the four corners of the earth, open the windows of heaven, and welcome people, draw them in to this place of celebrating you. Lord, I pray for your anointing on this time, on Devorah and I as we lead this service, on Devorah as she teaches tonight, on the technology so it'll work perfectly so that people around the world receive from this time. Lord God, thank you for all you're doing in us, through us, with us, and for us. We love you, Lord, and we bless your holy, holy, holy name. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.
And Shabbat Shalom, Lindsay. And Shabbat Shalom, Deborah. It's good to see y'all with us this evening. And
Shabbat Shalom, y'all.
We're glad y'all are here. And every Friday night, what we do is we praise and worship God.
Yes.
And so Devorah's been teaching us more about how to do that.
Yes, this is week 13, actually.
Is it really?
Surely is.
Show enough. See, you said surely like you're from Boston.
Well.
Show enough.
And I'm trying to sound like a Texan. But
you're trying? That was good. It was good.
Try.
She's getting better. She doesn't do use anymore. She does y'all now, sort of. But anyway. So teach us something cool tonight.
Okay. Right?
What are you going to teach us?
All right. Now, if you missed the podcast last week, or the previous podcast, the name of the podcast is
When I'm 64. You can find it anywhere you can find podcasts.
Yes, you can find it at this website, https://anchor, that's ANCHOR.FM/Devorah-Cohen, where you will find my profile, and you would look for the tool plus button from my profile, which should take you to voice messages. If you want to leave me a message from the app.
How cool is that?
And if you want to say how this broadcast inspired you or how God touched you during the broadcast, or maybe you learned something that you're excited about and you want to share it, you can record your voice message from my profile in the app, and I'll include it in a future broadcast.
How cool is that?
How cool is that?
Shabbat Shalom, Yvette. Welcome.
Shabbat Shalom, and she's going to have a birthday Sunday.
Mazel
tov. So why don't we sing her happy birthday?
Yom HaYeled Sameach. Yom HaYeled Sameach. Yom HaYeled Sameach. Yom HaYeled Sameach.
Yvette.
But guess what?
Birthday.
See, no, it's not happy birthday. It's joyous birthday.
Joyous.
Yeah, joy is better than happy.
Simcha.
Yeah, so.
Very cool.
So.
Okay, so Last week we talked about managing our kingdom of fat, and that's an acronym for feelings, actions, and thoughts. Okay? So today we're going to discuss the acronym KKK in regards to the kingdom of God and not to that other group.
Thank you.
The knowledge of God is essential in cultivating a relationship with the Holy One. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So the first K in KKK is Kalipa. Am I saying it right?
Kalipa.
Kalipa?
Yeah.
Now, in Chabad, evil and impurity are referred to as Kalipa, meaning literally shell or bark. The Kalipa conceals within it a spark of holiness, which is the vital force by virtue of which Kalipa exists, analogous to a fruit surrounded by a shell, such as a coconut.
How cool is that?
Isn't that cool?
So,
to release the Holy Spark within us, the encumbering shell must be removed. And if you've ever tried to open a coconut,
it is not an easy task,
usually requires skills and tools.
Tools.
Yes. You could say that our world is a coconut grove. Every one of us is wearing that outer shell like a veneer, protecting us from what's inside, which the Bible calls fruit.
But Kalipa, I mean, it translates as wickedness.
Well, the outer shell,
the
flesh,
the
carnality of man.
Okay.
Kalipa.
Right. I'm getting it.
Okay. So a person's fruit inside the coconut can be good or bad. And it takes a discerning eye to see through that hard coconut exterior to accurately determine what kind of fruit that person has. Now, biblically, you could say that we're fruit inspectors of the brethren. For the Bible tells us not to judge the world, but to judge the church folk.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, I would dare say that most of us have been deceived by a person who has a pretty coconut exterior. But once cracked open, it's like a Pandora's box.
Mm.
And if we don't flee from the evil that comes from that box, we end up becoming bad fruit as well.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you from personal experience that as a new believer back in the 80s, after my rock and roll days and I was trying to get cleaned up, I thought I could hang out with my old druggy friends after I got saved, thinking that I was strong enough to be a light among the heathen. The Bible tells us to flee from temptation. And the old bait that Satan used to hook me when I was walking in the darkness before salvation was, as a young believer, still too great a temptation to say no and mean it. And so I fell back into sin because I wasn't strong enough in the Word and was foolish enough to think that I could sit there and resist temptation when the Bible tells us for a reason to flee from temptation. Even as mature believers, there can be things that lure us into darkness. We have to be aware of our weaknesses and to leave in the presence of them if we're still tempted. Eventually, the temptation to certain things will no longer have that strong pull that it sometimes does as we continue to feed ourselves on the Word of God. Now, let it be known that in each of us is a holy spark of light. And no matter how dim, that spark is waiting for the right fuel to come along to ignite it in love with the Holy One, Baruch Hu. God puts us on this earth to love Him first and to love each other. As we pursue our relationship with God, it becomes clear that our prayers are not just for ourselves, but for those around us.
Right.
And by deep discerning prayer, God will give us the tools to pierce through that coconut shell by saying something or doing something to ignite that flickering flame within the wounded soul. Now, in order to be an effective luminary, we must learn how to light the flame of life. Otherwise, we risk fanning the flames of hell within our neighbor out of ignorance of the Word of God or by partaking of the sins that once so easily hooked us, only to backslide again. There are no shortcuts when it comes to seeking God wholeheartedly. And unfortunately, because of the busy life we have, we settle for ear-tickling sermons for 1 hour and then think we're going to be effective witnesses for the kingdom. Oh, how that is not true. This, in a nutshell, or coconut shell, is kelipa. Okay. The second K in KKK is for korban. Now, korban is an offering that we give to God. The daily sacrifice in temple times was offered twice a day, once in the early morning before all the other offerings, and once in the latter part of the afternoon after all of the other offerings. In particular, the korban tamid would be translated as a continuous offering, meaning it had an ongoing effect, elevating all of the other sacrifices brought throughout the day. In regards to divine service, when one begins the day with the sacrifice, which in personal sense means giving oneself to completely to God, the act becomes tamid, or continuous. It is not confined to the moment when the offering is made, but continues throughout the entire day.
Like pray without ceasing?
Yes, yeah. Bingo. Yeah. And so it is with our prayer. We start the day with prayer before we do anything else and close our day in prayer, in essence being in a state of continual prayer throughout the day.
Praise God.
If one does not plant the seeds of prayer before the beginning of the day, that person's garden is probably full of weeds, more than spiritual food. So what does your garden look like? And how does your garden grow? What are you planting in your garden of love? Planting seeds of prayer in your garden of life requires labor.
Oh.
It requires more than just tossing a few words into the soil. The soil itself has to be prepared to receive seed. We till the soil of our souls in self-examining prayer, asking God to reveal anything within us that is not pleasing in His sight.
Right.
Now, do you pray with your shopping list? What kind of prayer did King David pray in Psalm 51? Did David say to God, "I want this, I want that, I want that woman that I saw bathing in the nude from my rooftop. I want to sleep with that hot babe, Lord. A little sex won't hurt anyone. Maybe this way, Lord, you give us the pleasures of life. I'm not hurting anybody." Sound familiar?
But it doesn't sound like David.
But those thoughts were in his mind,
right,
because he ended up doing them.
Right.
And it starts with a thought. Can you believe King David actually thought like that? And once you begin to fall, your desires become more wicked, as King David thought to himself after committing adultery. "I want her husband to die so I can have her without guilt. I want to satisfy my flesh. I want this. I want this." And what did he do after he thought it? He had, what was his name, Uzziah?
Uzziah.
He had him killed.
Yeah.
It started as a thought. Stop giving in to the desires of your eyes, the lust of the flesh, before your sin becomes too great. And pray instead like this. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of salvation, and uphold me with thy spirit." But David said those prayers after he already committed those horrible sins.
Right. This was his prayer of Teshuvah.
Yes, but it cost him, it still cost him that son.
Of course it did.
That he had in adultery.
That's right.
Now, expecting the Father to hear our prayers when we are full of weeds that he can see is foolishness. Our Father loves us and can change us from glory to glory into the image of His Son, but we must take the time to be in His presence, in honesty, by cracking open that hard outer shell that we think we are hiding behind. When we empty ourselves of sin by making teshuva,
right,
sincerely turning away from the things that try to bind us, we make room for the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, to enter within and upon us, which in turn makes us more sensitive to the presence of God and increases our ability to hear His still, small voice. The third K in KKK is Ketoret.
Yeah.
Now in Chabad, Sublimation of evil is something that only the Ketureth can achieve. But this is not the sum of its purpose and function.
Yes.
The word Ketureth means bonding.
Right.
The essence of the Ketureth is the pristine yearning of the soul of man to cleave to God. A yearning that emanates from the innermost sanctum of the soul and is thus free of all the constraints and restraints of all that inhabits and limits us when we relate to something with the more external elements of our being. Its purity and perfection are what give the Ketureth the power to sweeten the foulest of odors.
Right.
But dealing with evil is not what it is all about. On the contrary, its highest expression is in the utterly evil-free environment of the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur. And today, in the absence of a temple, our prayers have become the pleasant fragrance to Hashem, known as Ketureth, that transforms the negative dimensions of Kelipa into good. The prayers generate a fragrance to Hashem that restores our soul, generating influence from God's essence, which flows into the world, binding us in unity with Him and with those who are seeking Him diligently in covenant. This is the true fellowship experience of unity, which has its foundation in fervent prayer. There are no shortcuts to seeking God. As Deuteronomy 6:5 tells us, we have to be totally focused in pursuit of God's presence with all of our being. Ketureth is mentioned in the Bible as being capable of causing a plague to cease. And it was made to perfection, and so can our prayers become intentional, heartfelt perfection to the ears of our Father.
Amen.
Anything short of pure Ketureth would result in spiritual death. Some could call it sloppy agape, like the man at the dinner table that I talked about in last week's podcast.
Right.
And when we have tilled the soil of our souls to receive the seed-giving life of God, then we are able to burn away that coconut shell exterior with the luminous love within us that permeates the very core of our existence, thus influencing and perhaps kindling the dying embers inside of a wounded soul that you know who is crying out for life and for love. And in that moment, when you connect with that wounded soul, you realize that the love within you that God has given you is not to be kept inside of your coconut shell like some private campfire, but that kindling fire within you becomes a blaze that is felt by others in your very presence, like Peter's shadow that brought healing to others when they were around him. They were attracted to that light within like a moth to the flame. And they open up to you because they see something in you that they really
right.
want.
Right.
What they see is the spark of life from the creator of the universe. They might not know what the light source is. We know who the light source is. But you know.
Right.
And I know.
Right.
Hashem. So kindle the flame within you and be the fuel to light somebody else's candle. And then they can light a candle of unity in their circle of family or friends. And we can all gather together in the blazing light of the anointed Christ. Ketureth was a daily incense offering to God, according to Torah, to be continued throughout the generations. So let us continue in obedience to make a sincere, genuine korban offering to praise our God.
Bemet. And
Amen.
Guess what? How timely. Because this week's Torah portion that I'm going to be teaching about tomorrow night at 7 o'clock Central Time deals with the incense of Ketureth.
Woo! Give me five, Rabbi! I think that's totally awesome.
It's just a
Any
God
questions thing. Or comments?
Just that your timing is sublime. It's just
it must
a God
be the
thing.
Holy Spirit.
That's exactly right.
I give
exactly
God all the credit because that message flowed out of me with a lot of poetry.
Yeah.
So... Great. KKK, remember.
it's a good. It can be a good thing. It can be a good thing. And
all
now,
right.
Let's make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
Okay.
All right.
A joyful noise.
And we're going to sing
Ma
Tovu, but I'm going to read it to you first.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, what I'm reading is broader than the song, all right? But
okay.
The song hits the highlights, all right? How lovely are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling places, O Israel. O Lord, through your abundant kindness, I will enter your house. In awe, I will bow down toward your holy sanctuary. O Lord, I love the house where you dwell and the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, at a time of favor. O God, in your abundant grace, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Yes.
Yeah.